Good morning. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there from me as well. It is very special for me to be able to speak to you this morning. I am very excited. Just to be able to speak on Mother's Day has always been a dream of mine to be able to do that. And so I am very excited. And that also gives me the privilege to thank the two amazing moms in my life from a podium. And that is very special to me. So I just want to say thank you to my mom. She wasn't able to be here today, but I know she will listen to this. So Mom, I love you very much. And I'm so thankful for you. And then to my mother-in-law, Sherry, who is like a mom to me. Not many people are as blessed as I am to have a mother-in-law as amazing as she is. So I love you very much too. Very thankful for both of those ladies. So I love to laugh, of course. I like to have a good time, and I thought today would be an appropriate day to share some funny mom quotes. So I have a couple of those prepared for you this morning. So you know you're a mom when a trip to the bathroom includes an audience. You know you've been there. Absolutely. You know you're a mom when picking up a human and smelling their butt is not only necessary, it is absolutely important. You have to do that. You know you're a mom and you've also been washing the same load of laundry for 3 days because you continually forget to put it back in the dryer over and over. And I'm sure there's dads in here that do that too. And you know you're a mom when you find random objects in the toilet, or in our house, it's the trash can, because our youngest loves to put everything in the trash can. Phones, anything that you can imagine. We found all kinds of things in that trash can. So if you're looking for it, go to the trash can in our house. But we really are thankful for each and every woman, not just moms, but every woman, because we all play a vital role in life. And so we are very thankful for each and every one of you. And what God's placed on my heart to share this morning is something that I have walked through and continue to walk through and learn more and more about. And that is finding your purpose, understanding your purpose and the season that God has placed you in, and being okay with the season that you're in, no matter where you're at. But I believe God wants to use this message today to help many who are maybe struggling to find that place. Or maybe you know what your purpose is, but you're struggling because you haven't seen that come to fruition. And so kind of in that waiting stage, understanding how to live in that place where you're not quite sure of what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. So today I wanted to share about the story of Esther, one of my very favorite books in the Bible, one of my very favorite women in the Bible. Powerful story. It's a short book. We're not going to read the whole thing today, obviously, but it is a short book. I encourage you to read it. Go and read it, especially you ladies, because I think it's a powerful message, especially in this time. So we're going to get some context as we get into the story today, but I think that this woman of God is one of the many women in the Bible, in history, who God has used for a strategic purpose. And so we're going to talk about her today. So the story of Esther actually begins at the beginning of the book, talking about the king at that time, who is King Xerxes, and his wife Vashti, Queen Vashti. And Vashti disobeys her man, King Xerxes. She then gets the boot, because he gets mad at her. She gets the boot from King Xerxes. And so now there's no queen to be over the land. So his eunuchs, which are kind of like a team of advisors in that day, his eunuchs decide that they should do a beauty pageant of sorts. And so they're going to search the land for all of the most beautiful virgins in the land so that he can select a new queen for himself. So that's where we're going to pick up the story. In Esther 2, 5 through 11, it says, "Now there was a Jew who lived in the palace complex in Susa. His name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite. His ancestors had been taken from Jerusalem with the exiles and carried off with King Jehoiakim of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon into exile." So Esther is a Jew, and the Jews were exiled. Mordecai had reared his cousin Hadassah, otherwise known as Esther, since she had no father or mother. The girl had a good figure and a beautiful face. After her parents died, Mordecai adopted her. As a result of the king's decree, this beauty pageant, Esther, along with many of the other women, was brought into the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care, who's kind of one of those advisors. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He ordered her special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. He also assigned her 7 maids specially chosen from the king's palace and moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. So I shared that part with you because this is a great opportunity to give all you guys some ideas. If you haven't got your wife or your mom anything yet, we like to be pampered. So if you haven't got a gift, there's your hint right there. Esther's telling you right there in the book. But going on to verse 10, Esther had not told anyone of her nationality, the fact that she was a Jew, or family background, because Mordecai, her cousin, had directed her not to do so. Every day, Mordecai would walk near the courtyard of the harem to find out about Esther and what was happening to her. So this book of Esther is just a beautiful picture, I believe, of how God can use somebody, put them in a place where maybe they didn't think they belonged or never thought they would be, and God can use them for a strategic purpose. And I think sometimes it can be hard to find our place. It can be hard to understand why we're in the season that we're in, but God really does have a purpose for us in every season, and I assure you that you do have a place and you do have a purpose. Some of you in this room, maybe God, like I said, has those dreams in your heart. Maybe you feel just frustrated about the season you're in, but I assure you that you can make a difference in this season, and it may not be where you're going to be in the long run, but God can use you in this season to make a difference. So, or maybe you're just like me and you're a stay-at-home mom and this is where I've been at times and you kind of get frustrated just being at home with kids. You think that you're not making a difference, but God can use you for a purpose, for a strategic purpose to help the next generation. And don't get me wrong, I love my kids. I love them very much. I love being a wife. I love being a mom. But I know that God also has other things that he has purposed within me that I am to use for his kingdom as well. And so how do we find how to make all those things happen? And God really does have an amazing way, a really cool way of helping us to be able to use our purpose in every season that we're in. And we really can learn so much from our Bibles. Esther is just one of the many stories that God's given us because he gives his word as a guidebook for us, that we can use his word as a weapon and a tool and a place of reference that we can go and we can gain wisdom to be able to help us through each season in our life. So as we take a look at the life of Esther, we're going to see what we can learn from her. So I think the first thing we can learn from Esther, jot this down with me, is finding your place requires great faith and trust. We're always going to have uncertainty in our lives. That's part of life. We have to learn to trust God and have faith that he knows best for us and he knows where we're at in every season. Esther 2:17 says, "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." So the king's held this beauty contest of sorts. And because now Vashti's gone, so he's got to have a queen. He's held his beauty contest, and now Esther is Queen Esther. She won this beauty contest. She now is the queen of this province that she never thought would ever happen to her. So she won it. Now she's got to have faith. She's got to trust God that he really will take care of her. But the thing about God is that although we think we're out of place, as long as you're in God's place, you can't ever be out of place because that's where he's put you for a purpose. So she was no longer with her family. She wasn't comfortable, I'm sure. As much as it was a lavish life, I'm sure she was very frightened a lot of times because like we had read before, she hadn't even been forthright with the fact that she was Jewish. So she was holding a secret, one that she wasn't sure of what would happen if anybody were to find that out. But the thing about God is that he tells us over and over throughout his word that we don't have to be fearful. And in Psalm 31, 14 through 15, this is the psalmist David that's writing, and he says, "But I am trusting you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My future is in your hands." You can really trust God. I assure you, you can trust him. And you have to have faith that he really will come through for you, no matter what the situation is. The second thing that we can learn from Esther is that finding your place requires great courage. It's going to take a lot of courage to be able to walk in the purpose that God has placed in you because God has a really cool way of pushing us out of our comfort zone. He loves to do that for us and to us because it not only is for his kingdom, but it also helps us. It helps our character and everything within us to grow and mature in our relationship with him. And that's part of his purpose for us as well, is that we continue to grow. Because courage isn't the absence of fear. It's just what we do in spite of that fear when we feel that come on. And as we follow along in the story of Esther, we find out that, yes, Esther does become queen, but one of the king's eunuchs, Haman, he has an issue with Esther's cousin Mordecai. And Mordecai makes Haman mad. I'm telling you, there's a lot of drama in the Bible. So just read this story. It's a good story. It really is. Lots of drama. But Haman has it out for Mordecai. So he decides he's going to try and trick the king into issuing a decree that on a certain day, anybody can kill one of the Jews. So that's his way of getting to Mordecai and being able to take Mordecai out. So Mordecai finds out about Haman's plan and goes to Esther and pleads with Esther to help save their people, the Jews. So this is Mordecai talking here in Esther 4:13 through 14. He says, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that maybe you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." So that end of the scripture is probably the most well-known, the most famous scripture in the book of Esther. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. I think it's so powerful, but he is asking Esther to go to the king and to save her people, and that is going to take some serious courage because it is not okay. Like, that is against the law. You will be put to death. You will be punished. So although she may have not understood what all he was asking, she knew that she was going to have some courage in this. And it really will take courage for us. He was really asking her to risk everything. But Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." God will take care of you in every situation. Have courage and don't underestimate what God has placed in you. Because what if you were placed here for this purpose for such a time as this? What if God has put you in a strategic position for such a time as this? And as hard and difficult as it may seem, that's what God does. So ladies, specifically, let's be a generation that we rise up and we be a voice for those that are younger than us, that we be women of God, of integrity, of unity, that we be the type of women that are for each other, that are encouraging each other, be different than the status quo. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to fight against what culture says that we should be and be what his word says that we are. The next thing I think we can learn about Esther is number three, finding your place requires great focus on God. So when we talk about my purpose, it can be very easy to become inward-minded, that we think all about ourselves and get so focused on what God has called me to do. But I would say to you to focus on the Lord, because it's in him that you're going to discover your purpose. It's in him that you're going to grow in your purpose. And you have to be willing to go to the Lord and take that time to seek him about what he has for you. And Esther 4:15 through 16 says, "Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. I and my maids will fast as you do." So they were praying and fasting because this is a huge deal. Like I said before, this was a no-no. You are not allowed to go before the king without him actually inviting you. So she would be risking it all, and they need to pray. They need to seek God and make sure that their hearts are ready and that this is what they're supposed to do. The cool thing about God, though, is that everything that you need, he's placed inside of you. Yeah. But in order to find those things, you have to seek him. And so that's what we have to do. We need to focus on the Lord. We need to pray and fast and seek God. And he really will be our guide. A few months ago, our youngest, Braxton, he's still to this day, I always say he's the loudest child I've ever met. He's 15 months old, and he is extremely loud. He yells all the time. And it's not even necessarily that he's mad. He just yells constantly. So a few months ago, Kyle was taking both the boys over to his mom's house, actually, and they're driving in the car, and Braxton is yelling, screaming, so Kyle stops the car, gets out, and he's trying to console him, get him to quiet down a little bit. It didn't really work, so he gets back in, and he's like, you know, we're just going to get there, we're just going to hurry up and get over to mom's house. So they start driving again, and out after Kyle gets in the car, out of the back seat, our two-year-old pipes up, Judah, and he says, "Help me, Jesus." Now, I have to be honest, he gets that straight from me, because all day long, in those moments where I'm like, "Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus." I mean, I say it all day long, so I know he gets that straight from me, and I joke about it and laugh about it, but in all honesty, that's what we have to do. In those times where we don't understand, where we're frustrated, we have to ask the Lord for help, because he really will meet us right where we are, and he really will help us to be able to just push a little bit further and go a little bit further. The fourth thing I know is that finding your place requires great initiative. Nobody else can fulfill your purpose, and no one else can take the initiative for you. Only you can do that. Sometimes we have to take that step of faith. We've got to have courage. We've got to focus on God, and then we've got to take the initiative and be willing to step out in faith. Esther 4:16 says, "I will go to the king, even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish." That's some resolve. She set aside all worry and fear, all question, and she said, "I'm just going to go because this is what I'm supposed to do, and if I perish, I perish." And that's how God wants us to be. He doesn't want us just to go to our death, but he does want us to take a step of faith and be willing to trust him and have courage and know that he really will take care of us. So take that initiative, because God really can use you right here in this season that you're in. If you'll just take the initiative and seek him and see what he would have you do in this season, then you will find your place. Take that first step in the business venture that you've been thinking about. Do that small group that you've been thinking about. That's why we have these small groups, because there's purpose in that. Join the dream team. Listen, I've tried doing life without being a part of the team. I've tried doing life by myself without those healthy relationships, and it's not fun, it's not enjoyable, and it's not how God intended it to be. So take the initiative and do those things. If God's placed something in your heart, there's purpose in that, and so do those things. Take that step. Don't be afraid to step out, because there's two things I know: that you'll never fulfill your purpose without first Jesus leading the way, all the way, and two, those relationships around you, that church around you that is going to be there to encourage you and be willing to push you out and off that limb that you're standing right on the edge of. He's placed us here as a family, and we're supposed to do this life together. That's why we do small groups. That's why we're constantly asking you to come be a part of Growth Track and join the Dream Team, because we believe in it, because we've lived it both ways, and we know the benefit of doing life together. The fifth thing that I know we can learn from Esther is that finding your place requires you to remain steady. We live in this culture where we can just give up so easily. We think, well, it didn't work the first time, and so I'm just going to quit. I'm just not going to do this anymore. Or I thought I'd be further along in my career by now. This isn't where I saw myself 5 years from now. Or, you know, 5 years ago, and we just get this mindset. Or maybe you thought, I would have started a family by now, and I don't understand why this hasn't happened. And so it's easy to get up and to give up and get discouraged. But that's not what God would have us to do. He would tell us to remain steady. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." God really does see the end before we could ever see the beginning. We don't even understand the fullness that he does, but he knows every detail. He's working each and every detail out for our good all along the way, and we can trust him in that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So remain steady, even when things don't work out like maybe you thought that they would. Your life is looking different than maybe you thought that it should. Remain steady. There's back before we had our first child, Ashton, she's 8 now, but before we had her, I had always just dreamed of being a stay-at-home mom. I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and just believed that that would happen. It wouldn't be an issue. But when we had Ashton, we just weren't in that place. Financially, we couldn't afford it. We needed both of our income. And so I was forced to have to go back to work. And when I did go back to work, I cried because, in all honesty, I really believed that because I had that dream that God would honor that desire. Because I always had been taught that God honors the desires of our heart, and He does, but it doesn't always happen in the timing that we think. And that's the funny thing, but when you're going through it, it's hard to understand that. So when I went back to work, I went back to a job that I despised, and I mean I really despised my job. It was a very difficult job, a very trying job. I mean, lots of days I would leave work crying or be crying in the middle of the day. I just really could not stand that job and wanted anything but to work there. But that was the season God had me in, had us in as a family. And now looking back on it, I am so thankful for that job, as much as I did not like it, because I worked there for enough time where I was able to take that job and work at home. And then when we moved to Fort Wayne, I was actually able to take that job with us. And then because of that job that I despised so much, Kyle was able to focus on building a team so that we could launch this church. So looking back on it, I'm very thankful for it. It wasn't until about 6 years after we had our first child that I was actually able to quit my job and be a stay-at-home mom. And I'm thankful for all of that time now, looking back on it. I couldn't see it at the time. I didn't understand the purpose in it. But now looking back on it, I get why I was at that place, even though I couldn't see this where I am today. But God has a purpose in that. He really does take care of every detail. I heard this quote a couple years ago, and I've read it over and over to myself, and I think that anybody in this room can really apply this to themselves. But it says a godly woman or man, in this instance, must have the wisdom to know their season and the confidence to walk in it. So this season, it might look different than what you thought it should. It might be lasting longer than you thought it should. But remain steady, because God is faithful to His word. He really is faithful. Listen, moms, maybe you don't realize how much you really are living out your purpose in everything you do. You're working hard to provide for your family. You're changing diapers. You're doing all of these things, and there really is a purpose in it. You're living out your purpose in every big thing and every little thing that you do, and you are valued. You are making a difference, every single one of you. You're leading by example in every area of your life. You're showing your children and your children's children how to live a life according to the Word of God. You're doing that in every act that you do. When you choose to honor your spouse and your words and actions, you're teaching your children to do the same. And there's purpose in that. It is vital purpose in that. When you encourage that younger generation to live a life that exemplifies God, there is purpose in that, woman of God. There is purpose in that in everything you do. Every hat you wear, there's purpose. When you choose to serve on a team here at church, there's purpose in that. You're leading the next generation in every action that you take. When you choose to serve in a homeless outreach or to go touch the people of this city, there's purpose in that. Purpose that God has placed in you for the next generation, no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord. Here's the thing I know. Nobody else can fulfill your purpose. Nobody else can fulfill the call that God has on you specifically. And life can be difficult. It's very easy to get our eyes on all that's going on around us. But if we're confident in who God has said that we are, confident in the purpose He's placed in us, then we feel empowered and we can go out with confidence and be able to walk in the purpose that God has placed in us. You can trust God and have courage. Seek God. Seek Him. Ask Him what He would have you do in this season, and then begin to walk in it and take that initiative. Don't be afraid to take a step of faith. Nobody can take your place. So I'd love to pray over each of you. If you would, just bow your head with me. We're going to pray together. Jesus, I ask that You would work in the lives in this area, finding our place and understanding purpose, God. Help us to have faith and trust in You. Help us to have the courage that we need to step out in faith and to trust You. Holy Spirit, help us keep our eyes on God and to take the initiative that we need to. Help us to remain steady always. Lord, I speak over every mom in here that she would feel valued and special in your eyes. Help her to see herself as you see her, Lord. I speak over every woman in this room who desires to be a mom, and for one reason or another that hasn't happened yet. I speak life over them, and I thank you for healing to come to their bodies where it's needed in Jesus' name. I thank you for miracles to happen in these lives, Lord. I thank you that you would give them patience, give them grace as they wait on you, Lord. Remind them in those moments of pain that you are good, that you remain faithful to them always. God, bring them comfort in their pain when they've lost a child, that you would be their great comforter, Lord. I speak peace over them. Help them keep their eyes on you in this season and to trust you and know every desire and every detail you see. You work every detail out. Lord, I thank you for adoptions, Lord, that they would come through easily and quickly when you've placed those adoptions on the hearts of these families, God, that it would happen without issue, that it would be smooth as it could possibly be. And Lord, that you would work out every detail and every aspect of that. Lord, I thank you for your love for us, God. Let the women in this room, all ages, rise up and be an example of a godly woman. Women that our daughters can look up to and they can exemplify as they grow. I thank you for every mom, every grandmother, every aunt in here. Thank you for these women of God. I know they pray and I know they encourage one another. Lord, bless them. Unite us together for a purpose for such a time as this. If you would just keep your head bowed just for another minute. I'm gonna take just a minute here because I think there's some in this room who your first step today is just a spiritual step towards Jesus. You've never asked for God's forgiveness. Some of you just need to rededicate your life to God because for one reason or another, you've walked away or you've turned your back on him. Some of you were raised in church and you feel far from God and you need to come back to God today. So right there where you're seated, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with me and ask God for forgiveness. So here in just a second, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand. If you say, that's me, I want to be included in that prayer. I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins. I'm not gonna ask you to stand up or come down front or single you out or anything like that. Simply by raising your hand, you're just letting me know that you wanna be included in that prayer. So if that's you and you wanna be included in that prayer today, if you would just raise your hand right now all over this room. Thank you. A huge step. So now if that was you, then just pray this simple prayer with me. Just mean it with all of your heart. God, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Today I receive your love and salvation. Forgive me for living my life without you. Today, I surrender my life to you. Change me and make me who you want me to be. I give my life to you. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed. Help them to make the changes that they need. Help them to connect with healthy relationships and to draw close to you. Thank you so much for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Elevate, give a hand for all those who raised their hand.